right, y'all. Most of you guys know me, but my name is Jamie Knight, and I'm a realtor with Real Broker here in South Louisiana. I host a podcast called Real South Agents, where we interview top agents from around the country, and we focus primarily on the South. One of those agents that I had the pleasure of hosting on the podcast was Lauren House. Her brand and her presence impressed me so much, and I asked her if she would join me for an interactive Zoom meeting to be able to share some of her thoughts about branding with our listeners. So it's my pleasure to welcome back Lauren House to the show. Lauren, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Jamie. Thank you for having me. And I'm excited to really dig deep on this because thankfully I've had somebody in this room ask about my branding. And then it kind of started this whole timeline of other people starting to ask and saying, can you post more about it? And then you came to me like a week later and asked to do this call. And so it just kind of was funny how like four or five different people in a matter of 2 weeks brought this to my attention. So here we are, came to fruition.
Absolutely. Look, when you put good energy out in the universe, sometimes it comes back to you. And obviously, you're putting out a lot of good energy. So that's what we want to talk about today. So I guess tell us, like, in your mind, like, what is branding? And like, what does that mean to you?
Branding is the association of two things. It's a pairing. So obviously, we're all real estate agents here, or at least most of us are. What you want is you want somebody to think of you, your name, when they happen to be on their third party site looking for a house or they're thinking of selling. Every single person knows a billion real estate agents. And so how do you stand out? So think of the fact that Michael Jordan joined, I guess I should say partnered with Nike, I think it was in the 80s. Those were two individual brands. When they came together, each of their individual brands were elevated, and Nike's consumers are the people who took the most from it because Nike chose Michael Jordan, who is the GOAT. And what do those people, the consumers, think? They might have a connection, like a they might feel like they have a connection to Michael Jordan. They might feel that they're cool, feel that it's going to improve their game, whatever that is, because Michael Jordan wears it. And it also sends the message that if Michael Jordan is willing to wear Nike, then I'm willing to wear Nike. It's good enough for me and I'm nobody, right? And that's kind of what we want to do with our brand is we want people to associate us both with our industry, but also with some character traits, which goes into what does branding mean to me, with the character traits that you authentically have and that naturally stand out both online and offline. So we can all put up a front, I guess I would say, on social media. And it's super easy to do that because we're hiding behind a computer. Once you meet somebody in real life, it's very easy to be disappointed by them because they're not what you thought. And so the brand is what translates, in my opinion, from online to offline. And I think that that includes needing to know your strengths and your weaknesses and working deeply on your weaknesses or things that you perceive to be weaknesses so that you can be more well-rounded because you want people to associate you with whatever the product or the service is that you're selling. And when they meet you in person, to pull it full circle, you want them to be excited to work with you, not disappointed.
Gotcha. Okay. So as far as the most things that are the most important to you, like when you think about your personal brand, I kind of thought of a couple things that in my mind describe you, but I'd be curious to see like in what ways and what things are like super important to you that you're trying to put out in the universe when it comes to your brand.
I have my top three things. They are, I'm nitpicky. So if I have anything that I'm not proud of, I guess those two kind of go hand in hand. I have to be proud of it. And I'm super nitpicky about the edits, about the picture, about the caption, about everything that's going out. And if there's anything that I do not like, or I do not feel comfortable with, I immediately tweak it. And I'm not trying to be perfect. I'm just trying to be proud of what it is that I'm putting out there. And then the third thing is I always ask myself, why am I posting this? Because in the event that some hot girl photos go up, those attract a different type of follower. And then if you have hot girl photos, meaning just like something sexy or boobalicious or whatever, out partying, whatever the hot girlness is for you, then people start come back to your page for the wrong reason. And we're not trying to attract an audience that wants us for the sex appeal. We want somebody to be attracted to us for our brains and for our knowledge and for what we can do for them. And we want to be taken seriously. So whatever it is that maybe you feel kind of wavers from your brand, I think it needs to be eliminated. So I always ask myself, why am I posting this? I always start with looks. That's just kind of who I am. So I always have my nails done. I always make sure my hair, my Botox, like my eyelashes. I always am proud when I leave the house, even if it's just workout clothes. If I feel gross, I can't do it. I have to go back in and change. So I think that taking that time and having that high level of expectation for yourself, because as a business owner, you're the only person who's holding yourself accountable. So if you're not going to do it, then who's going to? So having a high level of expectation for what I look like, and then also how I speak, how I treat people. I have a certain format for my text messages, like everything rolls into something. And I will admit, I've become probably a little bit too obsessed. And the formality that I have, like even with like my parents and my friends, is just like who I am as a business person now, because I've been like this for so long that I'm actually working on being more casual. So, you know, I think the main thing about your brand is that it's going to expand, and you need to know that there's going to be change, there's going to be evolution, there's going to be flexibility. It's going to say, I'm done with this logo. I'm done with this idea. I don't want to put this kind of content out anymore. And you have to figure out how to reinvent yourself. Whether you like it or not, Taylor Swift has reinvented herself many times across multiple genres for almost 2 decades. And that's impressive. It's hard to do. And I think that that's something that I tend to keep in, is like, you're not confined to the original cage that you originally presented. So just keep working on it. What else can you do? How can you find your edge or push yourself out of your comfort zone? And it's obviously baby steps to get there all along the way.
Yeah. So for you, you would say probably leveling up everything from your social media, but it doesn't even kind of extend to that. It's extending past that, like even the way you're text messaging, the way you're calling people, how the conversation looks, how the tone looks and everything. And I feel like yours, and I could just kind of tell, is super, super polished. So let's just say a realtor is listening to this call right now and they're saying, okay, I'm seeing Lauren obviously operating at a very high level. What ways can they maybe tweak their own personal brand? And what do you think is probably of those things that you described? What do you think is probably the most important thing that they should be considering when it comes to their brand?
Confidence. That's going to be number one. You can't buy it. You can't pay for it. It's something that I think even as a new entrepreneur, everybody is self-conscious at first. With time, experience, as you start to make more money, you gain that confidence, which allows you to speak more clearly, which allows you to buy the better clothes and make their dry clean. Everything rolls in from the bottom and the foundation that allows your brand to grow. I just listened to Ryan Serhant's book, and he saying how like he was going around in like wrinkled jeans and a wrinkled shirt and cowboy boots in New York because that's all he had. That was his nicest outfit. And it's like, at some point you graduate out of that, but you have to start somewhere. So if you don't like your old clothes, which I'm huge on not having wrinkled clothes, go get a steamer and start with that. If you don't want to waste your money on dry cleaning bill. And these are the little things in your control that allow you to be perceived as luxury, as confident, as, okay, I'm going to trust this person because they take care of themselves. If they take care of themselves, typically they're going to be on top of it. I think it's all subconscious. And I mean, I hate to say it, and I've said this to clients before, like if you see somebody fat and sloppy, you kind of assume that they don't work out. They probably don't eat very healthy. They probably have poor health habits in general. And it's just kind of like, if that's not who you are, like I'm up early, I exercise every day. Those things roll into your brand. People know that I exercise. They know I'm into self-development. Like all these things are like the little piece of the puzzle that when people see you, they're attracted to all of that. So it's all the little mini pieces of the pie that come together.
Absolutely. So you try to weave that into your overall brand on social media. I do see some of that kind of stuff, but how important is, and what's a good social media mix of things? Because a lot of realtors ask me this question of like, hey, what's a good mix for my social, and how much of this type of content should I be putting out? How much family content should I be putting out? How much I'm working out kind of content, how much family picture, whatever. And then how much real estate related content should I be putting out? What's a good mix in your opinion?
That's actually a great question because I don't know what the mix is. I've come putting anything personal up. And when I do something personal up, it doesn't really get that much engagement, which tells me that people really like my self-development bucket and my real estate bucket. So you're in control. And I think that's what people forget about social media is they feel like, because they've been told that people only work with those they like, know, and trust, that they feel like they have to bare their soul on social media. So my rule of thumb is like, lean into what attracts you. So whatever that is, right? Like, I want to be in a ball gown every day. I want to have hair and makeup done. I want to be in stilettos every day. That's not really the lifestyle in Miami, nor could I really get away with wearing a ball gown every day. I'm just formal. I like being like that. I love being dressed up. I'm a girly girl, but I think that it would turn a lot of people off. Like, whoa, what is this girl doing? So my version of being me is like, I'm in a collared shirt. I'm in nice dress pants. Like, I always want to look nice. Like, that's just me. And I think whatever you are, if you're an oversharer, lean into that. People love others who overshare. Not my thing. If you love food, not my thing. Go share all the food. People want to know who you are. So I don't really think that there's a right or wrong mix, because the people who have strictly business accounts do just as well as people who share family and travel and anything else. I think that the main reason why you share your business is because you want people to remember you. We're in a service business where literally anybody in the world could be a client. And that's what makes us, or I guess I should say drives us, to post so much about real estate, is because anybody could be a client. If you're in the fitness industry, it's the same thing. And so that's a totally up to you. There's not really a right or wrong. I guess stories are rule of thumb. Stories are for getting to know you. And then your brand is in the grid. I guess you could look at it like that.
Gotcha. Now, what kind of things are you sharing like in your stories as well? Like, just give us an example of like, you're in Miami or you're in Scottsdale at some point. Like, what are you sharing in your stories? What kind of things makes your stories on Instagram?
Yeah. I mean, a hot girl photo just always does it. It can be obviously clothed, but something that's like, that will always get the most for me, always, hands down. But I try to incorporate the lifestyle, the scenery of Miami. If when I'm in Arizona, because I also sell there, I'm from Scottsdale. If I'm hiking or if I'm going down the green belt, like, I try to share things that to me are so normal because it's what I see every single day of my life. But when I look at other people's stories and they're like walking down a road in Louisiana, I'm like, oh, I've never been there. Now I'm curious and I want to see it. And I stay on their page. And then that tells the algorithm that their stuff is important. So it's just kind of like letting people behind the scenes. It's also remembering to do it, as stupid as that sounds. Half the time I like go through like 3 days and I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot to post the story. I think it's a little bit of an addiction. You can make it easy and set a goal and say, I'm going to post one story a day. And there's no rule of thumb, but people like to post because it makes them feel good. They like to sit and look at their numbers, and I don't really think that the numbers should matter as much. If you can convert, that's what matters.
Yeah,
so a lot absolutely. Of people do a lot of business and don't have a giant following, but they make a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And I 100% agree with you. And I think that's where Instagram is strong right now. Instagram is very strong on like even pages that don't have a lot of followers on it. If you give Instagram what it wants, a lot of times, really, I think probably what it wants is video right now. But if you give it what it wants, I feel like it gives you this crazy view count sometimes and this crazy connections. And I've even experimented with it because I don't have a ton of followers on Instagram, but understanding like what Instagram wants and what it really shines at is like been a big part of like even growing my own personal brand, is saying like, and we talked about this a little bit, was video versus photos. So what's your thoughts on like Instagram video versus Instagram photos?
My thought on video versus photo is that they kind of do different things. So a carousel, for example, is if you have your 10 photos up there, I think you can have unlimited now, but if you have 10 photos up there and people are stopping and they're looking and they're zooming, that is telling the algorithm that your content is important because people are staying on that. And if you notice, if you scroll past a photo, it pops up again on the second photo. So they're really trying to get you to be captivated by whoever it is that posted a carousel. Videos are quicker. And videos have become so clever and funny and with sound bites, like there's just no limit to what you can do with the video that is what's getting the attention. And anything that's like between 6 and 12 seconds is probably going to be the quickest and the fastest, but it's such a quick hit that a carousel or a photo with a great caption, people are going to stay on that longer than just like get their quick hit of something funny and scroll past it. So I think they both have a benefit. It just depends. And I've tried to do a good mix. And the caption of Instagram is now like an SEO for Google. So if you take the time and write out a full-blown caption and use SEO, you can now be found on Google. So taking an hour sometimes to write a full post is crazy to think about. And I've done it many times, but usually those are the ones that get a lot of good feedback because I put my heart and soul into them. So totally two different things, but I think each page needs all of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love that you said that about SEO because things are changing quickly and understanding what even you're putting out on Instagram or Facebook, like that all matters. And going back and like searching keywords on like Keywords Everywhere or like some different tools that you can go in and search keywords. For example, I might find a lot of people are searching for a small town around Lafayette, Louisiana, and I'm seeing that interest in from Google standpoint, but I'm not seeing a whole lot of content around that particular city. Like for us, there's a town outside of Lafayette called Scott, Louisiana, and Scott has got a lot of Google action on it, right? It's one of the hottest growing areas around our community, and it's not Lafayette, but it's an area that it's specific enough that if you put out content or maybe you go out and say, hey, I need to go shoot in Scott, Louisiana, because right now Google searches are definitely pulling from Instagram and other platforms. And I think it's super smart to go and dive into Google and say, hey, what are people actually searching for? And then build content around that as well. That's a super smart play right now. And ChatGPT is leaning into that as well. So I think that's super smart right now.
Something I've been doing to make my life easier is every single time I go to a restaurant, I force myself to go somewhere new. I take a picture, you know, of not literally of the menu, but just like an artsy photo of the menu. And then I pan out, I show the scenery. I try to take a picture of each dish and then like a picture of whoever I'm with our glass of wine. I've been putting TikTok because I'm thinking, okay, if people know that I'm in Miami or Scottsdale and I'm putting out this content, when they think, okay, I'm going to Miami, that girl had really good restaurant recommendations. Those are actually doing the best, which I don't have a lot of on TikTok, but those are doing the best on TikTok. And advice is best for YouTube. So it's an interesting overlap because Instagram, at least all the accounts I follow, it's become very businessy and it's just more like advertising, whereas informational, especially specific information on YouTube is like what people go for. They type into the search bar something very specific. And on TikTok, it's kind of a combination of, can I get information from this platform as well as it's supposed to be funny. Like most of the stuff's funny, but so that's been a fun thing. Cause it makes my life a lot easier. Cause I'm like, all right, I'm already here. Let's just do this, you know? And then half the time I eat the food and I totally forget that I was supposed to take a picture cause I'm not a foodie. So I'm like, but it's been like a fun little challenge and they're well received, which makes me very happy.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. So you've done a lot on video. We talked a little bit about video and I feel like you are super confident on camera. And I know if you guys go follow Lauren, she's got a bunch of different videos as far as showing up confidently on video. We all know we need to be on video and video has completely changed my business, but talk to us a little bit about how you show up confidently on camera so that everybody here can get some tangible tips from you on how you show up confidently on camera.
I show up confident on camera. I don't have the initial stage fright. So for me, I think I'm a step ahead of most, but my tips are that you need to be very confident in what you're wearing, in how you look, in understanding your angles. practice what you're going to say, or if you're just walking, practice the walk, take different angles, have somebody who, if you don't have somebody, if you have somebody filming you, make sure you're comfortable around them, because you already feel silly, especially if this is new for you. And then you have like this videographer that you don't know. And you're like, oh my God, just get it right the first time. So it just takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of critique. You got to go back, watch the videos. I know you hate your voice. I know you hate that angle. That's what this is. It's practice to understand how do you get there. And I practice a lot in the car. So if I know that I have a lot to say, or I'm going to do a little video, I'll practice in the car when nobody's around, speaking the bullet points. I get all the rambles out. My goal is to be very direct and concise, because if you become long-winded without value and then you start talking in circles, people are going to lose interest. So I practice in the car. I practice on camera. I'll write it out. Then when you show up on camera, like you show up wholeheartedly, right? And you like what you're wearing. You're comfortable in what you're wearing. You now know your angles. And it makes it a lot easier to just say to say because you feel good. And that shows, like, if you're going to be awkward on camera, like, this is where you need to practice. And I know it's not easy. I know it's not fun, but it's essential if you want to be seen as a serious business owner, if you want to portray confidence, if you want to like be chosen, if you will, if somebody's like choosing between you and somebody else and you're just like, hi, I'm Lauren. Like, what? Nobody wants to work with that.
Yeah.
As mean as that is.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. And like one thing that I would say too, and this is something that maybe I was kind of thinking about too, is obviously not everybody has the Lauren House looks or everything like that. And okay. I guess what I'd really like to maybe speak to is somebody that, okay, let's just say you're not as cute as Lauren House or whatever, right? I even had a realtor open house yesterday. She was like, I don't put out video because I hate my voice. So maybe speak to an agent who's not super confident in maybe the way they look or maybe the way that they sound. Maybe speak to that agent and how do they cultivate a brand that does something for them, I guess. You know, I don't know. I mean, yeah. I'm just kind of like trying to think out that because that's super important, I think.
You could take somebody like the broke agent who is wildly successful, does not post video, doesn't post anything about himself, and it's funny. He's humor, and he knew that he was funny, and he turned that real estate humor into something that every single real estate agent follows, can relate to. You're like rolling on the ground, right? So I think in the world of using video clips, we'll say from movies or from wherever, like if you go to TikTok and just say like trending sounds, you can just lip sync and put something funny, POV something. And I think there's a way around it. I do think you eventually need to grow those big huevos and step out into your new persona. And look, I'm like getting nervous for you, and step out and try to be on video if that's something that you want to do. If you don't care, take that hour and write out a bunch of captions, just do photo shoots. People have gotten creative to create a very successful account. I don't know how it converts, but it's to make a successful account without ever showing their face.
Absolutely. Josh Rogers in Jacksonville, Florida, created an entire Instagram channel is all AI. The whole thing, even and he's doing the newsy style. I know a lot of people are seeing the newsy style, right? They're reporting on, you know, big things that are happening in Jacksonville, Florida. And the whole thing is AI. He's got the 11 Labs voice. He's got the Hey Jen avatar. He's got a VA putting the whole thing together. Josh is nowhere on the channel and it's growing like crazy right now. I think he's up to 25,000 followers, but like he's not even on the channel. Like that's totally crazy. And he's converting leads from that opportunity, the way that he's setting it up too. So I'd be curious to see from your end of things, like how are you getting leads from this? Like everything that you're doing is great, right? But if you're not getting leads, like that's one thing, but how are you actually generating like opportunities for yourself and how are people reaching out to you when they do?
My business is primarily referral based, and then I've implemented cold calling. I don't like to run on hope that somebody is going to see my profile and think I'm good enough and maybe reach out. So I like to be in the driver's seat. I would say that Instagram for me has become supplemental, so that if somebody meets me, or in Miami, it's like such a big deal to have a lot of followers and have like a pull brand. That's why I even got into this stuff. It just becomes, okay, she's legitimate. Okay, she knows her stuff. I did like a 6 month stretch of just putting out a whole bunch of experiences I've had over transactions over the years, not necessarily being vulnerable, but trying to demonstrate that I know my shit, right? It didn't really transfer into anything, but I've had a lot of comments of people being like, oh my gosh, I've had that happen, or that's really cool, or I actually read what you wrote and that happened to me and I knew what to do because of your post. So it's like success in a different way, which we're all here to make money. So now I'm trying to flip because I didn't get any business from that for 6 months. And that was a good push. I was 5 days a week, straight solid help about real estate for buyers and sellers, just tips. And so now I'm turning over to, I'm going to try and be like a little bit more vulnerable, as well as try and be funny and a little bit more creative, because I haven't done that yet.
Interesting.
So we'll see. Yeah.
So try and change, and for sure. Cause I think that the more that you put out, the more that you have the opportunity to get. I mean, Alex Hormozi said that the reason he succeeded in the business world is because he put out 35,000 videos. So he forced his way into the market, which I thought was such a cool, you know, thing to say. That he was just like, you know, like I just said, like, I'm going to make it in business. I just thought that was the craziest thing, you know, but I
that's how you force people to care about you.
Yeah. Like you force
the people who don't post anything, nobody knows that you exist, or they're not really that curious about you. You have to like create a mystique almost. And then you have the people who are overshares and they just post nonstop, and that's fine. That works for them and they're good at it. And you don't feel like they're such a stranger because you know so much about what's going on in the very intimate details of their life, because they're an overshare and it works and people like them. They want to follow them. They are attached to them. So there's no right or wrong way. It's just what works for you. What are you comfortable with? And at the end of the day, what are you proud of?
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I think a lot of what you're doing, even if you're not getting the immediate reach outs from Instagram, is you are speaking to your past clients as well, because you and I both have a referral type business. And I think that my mindset is when I'm looking at the camera is it's to present something that my past clients might like versus somebody brand new that may see me into the world. So like, that's a lot of what I'm framing out, and I'm trying to say, hey, what would my past clients like to see from me? It also has to be true to me as well as my brand. And it can't be like, for me, I'm not fancy. So it can't be like, oh, Jamie's out in the tux. Like that would miss. Like I'd feel like I'm in some kind of costume or something, you know, if I was in a suit or something. Maybe that's just me, but I guess how important is like the whole polished side of it. I know you're super polished, but if an agent's listening to this, like how important is being like polished to it, or is it more important to be authentic?
Great question. I think it depends on who you are. If you're a casual person, keep it casual. That's what works for you, because you can't force your way into something that you're not. A, the facade will break very quickly, and B, it's not going to feel good. So you're not going to gravitate towards it. And I think that's what's so special about every single person. You know, you have to think, the reason why I ask, like, what's the message when I post this? What's my reason for posting this? Because every time I send an email to somebody, I always think, okay, what are my last few posts? Because my Instagram handle, all my social media platforms are clickable links in my email. And sometimes I have to think like, what have I posted? Anything with alcohol? Is it inappropriate? You know, because if they go click on it, it's like, that's the first thing they're going to see. And so those are the little things that I think about. And the reason why I don't post anything sexy or low cut or anything like that is because I was out with a client who had proof of funds. We'd been looking at houses. He wanted to experience Brickell. It's a little subsection of Miami. And he said, hey, can we go get a drink so I can just like see the nightlife a little bit? And I was like, yeah, sure. Like we went at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock, and we're sitting there and he's telling me about how he wants to pretty much be my boyfriend. And I was like, dude, I'm in a relationship. Jokingly, I said, you can get on the list. And he's like, oh, okay. Well, what number am I? And I was like, well, that was a joke, but like, I don't know, 16, like trying to pick a biggish number. And he's like, okay, yeah, no problem. And all of a sudden, the next thing I know, he pulled out Instagram. He scrolled down to some photo of me from like a photo shoot of 2 years ago and literally zoomed in on my chest. And it was a low cut, but not boobalicious, in my opinion. And I remember thinking twice, like, should I post this? Should I not post this? There was nothing sexual about it. My face is like a lion roar. Like, there's just nothing. It's like supposed to be like an empowering photo. And he like scrolled in and I was like, that's the last time I've ever posting anything like that. So it's like, you have these little things and you realize even just one photo like that attracted the wrong person and he got the wrong idea and he wasted my time. And that's not okay with me. So that's why my brand is so important to me, because I don't ever want to be wasting my time or not taken seriously. And somebody thinking that they can use real estate as the in to try and whatever me, date, whatever.
Yeah. I mean, I totally get that. That's definitely a challenge that I think female realtors have for sure. Because nobody's knocking down my door to try to, you know, holler at me or whatever, you know, but no,
I don't think any man, it's not just you.
Right. I mean, yeah, any man in general, but it is something to be conscious about as a female in this industry. Like, what are you putting out? And is it being perceived as I'm putting myself out there? Or let's just say you're divorced or single or whatever, you know, and people know that, like, are they kind of like perceiving you as like you're on the prowl or whatever you're trying to do? So I guess you got to be really careful about what you put out, because people can take things like totally the wrong way. And especially guys, because guys are like, you know, you say one thing, you're like, oh my gosh, like, it's just weird how our brains work. But it's so true, as poor as like you operating with type A personalities out there in Miami, like, they're out there to try to see some ladies in Miami, you know?
For sure.
And they're coming to you for the wrong reason and wasting your time, but also making you like super uncomfortable. Like, how uncomfortable was that situation? Like, that's crazy.
Oh, I was crawling in my skin. And I fired him the next day, to be honest. At this point in my career, I'm not willing to deal with that. But I've also, like, I just closed on a deal with a single gentleman who was not creepy at all. Super cool, super wealthy, just treated me like a normal person. Like, we went to lunch, we went to dinner, never looked at me inappropriately. And because of his demeanor towards me, I always look at the actions. It was easy to know that he was serious. Right. So the point of all of this is, like, you have to figure out what it is that you're putting out. And this is why your brand is so important. If you're luxury, I think people take you a little bit more seriously. You don't have to have closed a ton of luxury sales in order to be luxury. Like, most of my clothes are Amazon. And then I wear expensive shoes, expensive watch, always look good. I put everything together well, but like, I don't go spend a lot of money on my clothes. And I think that's what people forget, is like, they think that they have to have sold a certain amount. I can have worked with plenty of luxury real estate agents who have horrible communication. They don't help. They're mean, whatever it is. And it's like, maybe their ego is too big. Maybe they don't really know what they're doing, but like, they think they're on their high horse because they've closed X amount of dollars, you know?
Yeah.
Like, luxury is not cool. Like, you've closed a $5 million house. Cool. Big deal. You know, like, at some point in everybody's career, they're going to get there, but it's how you present yourself. That's the luxury piece.
Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, give some tips on that topic too, of like, you don't know a lot of agents here, you know, even with real luxury, you know, we do have a lot of agents, and Paige is also on the call as well. And I think one of her questions too is like talking about like luxury and like, how do you brand yourself without like saying that you're a luxury agent, right? Because anybody can say anything. And I'm always cautious when somebody says something, I'm like, really, like, show me, don't say. But talk to us a little bit about branding yourself as a luxury agent, but not saying that you're a luxury agent. That'll be a fun
the
challenge.
Golden question.
Yeah, absolutely. That was a good one.
I mean, immediately everybody wants to go showcase their luxury listings. And if it's not their listing, I know I have called hundreds of agents in my career trying to get video in their luxury listing so that I can look like a luxury agent. That is obviously the easiest way. And for all of us on this call, since most of us are real estate agents, we all know when we post something, we post a house, nobody's checking to see whose listing it is.
Yeah.
And that is the secret, in my opinion. So like, all of these new constructions in Miami, new construction projects in Miami, I post stuff under a million, but I really try to post like the more luxury. And I was at dinner with some girlfriends, and they're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe how many listings you have. She doesn't know how it works. She's not in real estate. She has no idea, you know? And I'm just like, like, do I blow my cover or do I not? People have no idea. They're not going to double check. So that's kind of where like the confidence comes in. If you can be on camera and sound like you know what you're talking about, or if you actually have the numbers, people in my old Sotheby's office were like constantly just listed, just sold, just listed, just sold. And that's a totally different strategy than what I have. Like that's showing the numbers, that's showing that you have the listings. It shows that you sold the listing, and that shows that you have business. And because you have business, whether it's a $300,000, $3 million house, it doesn't matter because you, people can tell that you're generating business.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit more about like the perception, and we're going to talk like, you know, fonts and colors and all that stuff, but talk to us a little bit about that too. Like what is important for an agent who may be interested in luxury? Like how are they presenting their overall brand? Let's just say from a visual standpoint, like what's important to put out for like luxury?
Yeah, it's definitely clean. My rule is like, I really try hard not to use any color. Like my colors are black and white. I think that that's classy. I think it's timeless. I think it's elegant. And I know that we all think that our brand is our logo and the fonts and our website. And I think that's an easy place to start if you're just starting your brand, because that's the most tangible thing. But you need clarity. Once you have all of that, what's the actual, what are you putting on your website? It's called copy. What's the copy that's going on your website? You can choose all the colors, but like if you don't have 6 pages of information for your website, or you don't have the content that you want to put on Instagram, you know, and this comes with clarity of you, your company's values, your morals, where do you stand? Do you shit talk? Do you have alcohol in your photos? How do you present yourself? Like that's kind of, I think it all comes down to like the foundation.
Yeah. I love that. Talk to us a little bit about, I know you have pretty high standards, but talk to us a little bit about like high standards. I know your standards are super high as far as like how you hold yourself and any and everything else, but an agent who's maybe looking to like level up their business right now, like what would you tell them about like raising their standards when it comes to their brand?
In order to raise your standards when it comes to your brand, it's the easiest to choose 2 to 3 things from a list that you make of all the things you want to change. So you can call them weaknesses. You can call them, you know, the lack, the area that you lack. Let's just say there's 10 things on the list. Start with focusing on 1, 2, maybe 3 things. Start making those small changes. If you want to be a better communicator, then start with that. If you want to be a better, you know, on camera, then start with that, whatever it is. And eventually those little habits, as we all know, they can become normal. They become part of your day. They become the foundation. Again, I know I say that a lot. They become the foundation for the next habit. So for example, this guy, like 10 years ago, we had a friendship in place and he was somebody in the office, and he would always say, he formats his text the same. It says, "Hi, Lauren," the body of the text, space, "best regards," his name. And I would always look at it and I was like, gosh, I was like, we're friends. Why is he so formal? And then I realized like, that's just who he is. That is his brand. That his standard initial text to you, or his standard initial response to you. And I appreciated it. So I stole it and I still do it to this day. And after there's a second and third text exchange, then it just goes to like regular answers. It's less formal. But I just thought, what a great way to separate yourself. I always knew that I would expect that in return. Or if you're known for somebody who rain, shine, hot, cold, wears a suit to the office, everybody knows that they can expect you to be in a suit. And like, that's hot. I know that you're reliable, you're dependable. These are the things that you're in control of. So take control of them and make it as best as you can, because that represents you.
Absolutely. And you're totally going to attract those clients. And I think a lot of us who, and some agents who are struggling right now and who may be on the call are struggling for deals right now, because it's a tough market out there. But I do feel like that if you continue to show up, if you continue to put yourself out there when it comes to your brand, that people are going to follow you, but you'll also attract who and what you're putting out, right? Lauren's putting out high-end stuff. You're going to tend to attract a high-end type client. If Jamie's in, you know, a polo and a hat, he might attract another person in a polo and a hat, whatever, you know? So I feel like that's almost a piece too, that that I think is like super important to talk about is like the attraction side of branding, and like what you put out is what you attract. And I even told Paige, is like, branding is like what shows up to the door before you do. You put out what you put out, and you tend to attract what you attract. So
it's like your energy. It introduces you before you enter the room. And that's, some people are doing their research on you. They want to see what they're getting into. And that's why video is great, because people can understand how you talk, your mannerisms, your voice, and all of those things are what, with repetition, are what people learn to like and know and trust you. And so, similar to just kind of mirroring, right? Like if you're going to put out a certain vibe, you're probably going to get it back. That's just attraction and energy in general, which is why, you know, I'm going to go back to like the sexy photos. If a girl's posting a bunch of sexy photos, but then like wants to sell luxury real estate, she's probably going to attract single men.
Yeah.
That's just like the easiest example off the top of my head. Just like if you only post that you work with in trailer parks, then you're probably going to attract all trailer parks. People aren't going to come to you for a luxury house. So that's why you have to be so careful. And, you know, I've heard some agents say, which have kind of adopted this rule, if the house that they have as a listing does not match their aesthetic for their grid, then they will not post the house. You have to figure out what's more important. Once you get to a certain level, like your brand is super important to you. And what are you willing to kick? Everything's a business decision. And I think that's why it's easy to make business decisions, because there's nothing personal about it. You just think, all right, I'm making this business decision. Like alcohol, for example, am I okay with alcohol in my photos? There's no right or wrong. Are you okay or are you not?
Yeah. And who are you attracting with that, I guess, is the thing too. You're attracting maybe other people who are into that as well, which could be good, which could be bad. You know, I guess right. It just depends on what you're trying to put out there. But if an agent is trying to spend some money right now on their brand, what would you recommend? And I know money's tight. So what would you recommend agents spend their dollars on when it comes to their branding right now? Like if you had $1,000 you were going to like put towards branding, what are you doing for your branding?
Video photo shoot. The video edits are a one-time thing. The photo shoot, you can at least use the photos for a year to come, 6 months to come. But taking your videos makes you stand out, right? It shows that you have the money. I don't know if anybody knows what that costs, but it's very, very expensive. You can do small stuff, right? Handwritten thank you cards. That's an easy one. I've been sending out magnets actually, and people love them. I felt cheesy, but people have been loving the magnets. Not everything has to be online. And I think that everybody's so focused on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, and Facebook for some. Basics are where it's at.
I love that. Well, look, what we're going to do is I want to give a few minutes in our call to be able to have some open questions that people may have, and we can kind of go to the chat to see that. So I want to make sure that agents get a chance to ask a question that they may have about branding. So if anybody wants to go ahead and unmute right now and ask Lauren a question, and we can also go to the chat and kind of see what kind of things that people may have. So one question was, how do you juggle the two markets that you serve? So Amy Murphy in Scottsdale ask, how do you juggle the two markets that you serve? So maybe speak to Amy on that.
Hi, Amy. Thank you for being here. I have a business partner in both cities, and I fly back and forth as I need. That definitely makes it challenging, but also like makes me smile so big, because it's like, wow, I can actually do this. So the people that I have working with me are people that I trust. They have the same level of care standard and how they treat their clients and how they work that I do. So that's been the saving grace. And unless somebody knows how to clone themselves, please let me know.
Hey, Josh Rogers did it in his Instagram page. So you may be able to, you know, you may need to look into creating a Lauren House Hey Jen avatar
and exactly.
With 11 labs, you know, I think that would be totally cool. But what would, you know, there's a lot of people on in Louisiana on the call, and maybe this is one thing that I may have too for you is, we're in South Louisiana. Things operate a little bit differently than maybe Miami does. But what would you tell an agent in Louisiana who maybe is not in a super fancy market or not in the high-end market like Miami? Like, what would you say would be important for somebody who's in Louisiana? And I guess maybe I'm thinking, you know, something like you would stand out for sure, but I don't know how well received it would be in like South Louisiana. So maybe speak to that.
I mean, my biggest regret is not putting out more information 10 years ago when people started telling me, get on YouTube, get on TikTok. And I just did what I wanted. So, like I said, every time you go somewhere, I have like a selfie stick and I'm working on making sure that I'm taking video and it's just B-roll sometimes. Sometimes I'm speaking to it or I do a little research before I get there. But being the source, the resource for people to go to, that is going to be my number one.
Yeah, for sure. So, Lauren, I really appreciate you joining us on this episode. This is so awesome. I'm so glad that we could focus on branding, and I'm going to put some of your contact details. I'll send that in the chat as well. It's Lauren M House, right?
Yeah.
As far as your Instagram. So go follow what Lauren's doing. She's doing a lot of really awesome stuff on Instagram, but also on other platforms, on YouTube and TikTok and all these other platforms. So go follow Lauren. And she's a great referral partner out there in Miami and in Scottsdale. So I hope that you guys go give her a follow. I appreciate you guys listening in to everything that we do with the podcast. And it means the world that you guys would show up on a Friday and come spend some time. So Lauren, thanks again. Appreciate it.
Thank you all for being here. I appreciate your time. And reach out if you have any other questions.
Awesome. Thank you
Thanks,
so
Jamie.
much, Lauren. Appreciate your time.